K-E-8-R-U-H from W-8-R-C-Y. Anthony, you're on the air this morning. K-E-8-R-U-H from W-R-C-Y. W-E-R-C-Y. W-8-R-C-Y, clear.
W-8-F-U. Good morning. I'll get back with you later on that. Good morning. I hear you. I just backed out of my driveway, so not a whole lot of motivation. Yep. I'm just making my way here. Another week. You say another day, another dollar, right? Something like that. Forgot I have to wash my truck this morning, too. It's brown. I gotta try doing the power washer thing with my car. I usually run it through the car wash, but got this new car, this new power washer, so do that today. But at best, it's gonna be, what, a quarter car wash? You still gotta scrubby-dub-dub. Yeah, I washed my four-wheeler with my electric power, my electric power washer yesterday, and I wasn't overly impressed with it. Granted, the four-wheeler's in 1999. I don't know how clean I was going to get it, but should have just did my truck. I had everything out. I just didn't feel like dealing with the kids with the truck. Now I got to deal with it today. I have found that, I don't know, you say that 99 four-wheeler, I don't know if it's grimy from, like, grease or anything like that in the engine area. Probably not. I don't know what you mean by clean it up. But I use that engine bright, that foam on stuff. Spray that all over, let it set for a little while, and then hose it off. That works pretty good. I revived it out of my dad's barn, so he never used rec fuel in it. It sat for like 4 years, and the fuel lines rotted out, so then it had fuel dripping all over it. So, 2 years ago, I went through it, rebuilt the car, did all the maintenance on it, got her back up and running, and I never took the time to clean it because I was so sick of the project. By the time I was done with it, I used to take the whole thing apart to work on it. And I did that yesterday. It was muddy. It was in my garage. I had to work on it again. I was like, all right, I'm going to clean this. But it's cold, right? So, you know, if you only got dirt on something for a long time, it's really hard to get off. I can't even put mud on the tires that I can't get off without, like, scrubbing it.
Alright, yeah, it's something different, but I know what you're talking about. I've seen that perma-dirt. I don't know what you gotta do for that. Buff it out on a tire, what would you do, armor all? Who knows? But, again, you probably just run the thing around in the mud. You're probably only so invested in the whole cleaning thing.
It was mainly get it clean enough that I don't feel gross working on it, because it's going to be pulling a rake around in my dirty yard. And that's pretty much the whole reason I have it again. When I'm done, I'm probably going to sell it.
I thought you had others. Or are they just little kitty ones?
The kids have a bunch of ride-ons. I have a 99 Scrambler 500 four-wheel drive, which is a great machine. It's just very old and not it's a trail bike. It's not a utility bike.
Like, remember, I don't know if you remember, Honda made one. Probably not, because it was way back when I was younger. We would call it, like, Big Red or something like that. And it was a utility. It was a farm implement.
Yeah, I kind of make great machines. They last for, but I'll end up doing something like trading or selling this one and getting an older one of those. Give me a minute, I'm going to pull in the car wash here. NADBS.
Alrighty. W8FU.
Good morning, FBI. This is K-8-W-O-J, Rick in West Bloomfield.
Good morning. Just making the morning run here. Dakota's washing his car, truck. That's about all I've heard out here since I jumped out.
Good morning, John. Well, I took your advice, and I have a clear note being delivered today. So I'll probably be pulling out the rest of my hair on the top of my head. I got hair on my chin I can still pull out. Trying to set that thing up. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, know they're a bit pricey, but and I heard when the guys all started getting them, they were talking them up, Dakota and the rest of the guys that got them. I think Greg's got one, and Dave's probably got one, and I don't know. There's two or three of the guys that had them, and I wasn't convinced because I was the guy that made those. I'll be damned if I'm gonna buy one. But then I broke down because they had a small form factor one for a while, and I grabbed one of those. And I get it now. Ever since I got it, I'm like, all right, that's why. And I've gotten so comfortable with his setup and his software and all that stuff, and I'm like, yeah. I mean, if we could make a front end like that for the All-Stars software that you could download yourself and configure, then I'd be back to saying no, just do that. But boy, that thing he does is so nice. And I think he's got servers set up that kind of help with it and all. So, which is scary, because if anything ever happened, like, look at Snap IR. They just announced they're no longer going to be in business. But if it did, you'd still have a node that would work conventionally, no big deal.
Yeah, I was on the fence there the last couple months there. Didn't know whether to buy a new barrel for a rifle or the All-Star node. And who am I kidding? I'm just too old to hunt anymore. So I get more use out of the All-Star node. So I got that coming today. I was in the hospital there last week and a half, two hospitals actually, and I was bored to death one night. And I said, that's it, I'm just going to order that darn thing. So I ordered it, and he wanted to know if I wanted it configured or not. And I said, nah, I don't really have all the info for you. Just send it, and I'll muddle my way through it.
Right. Did you give him your Wi-Fi credentials so that at least it can come up on your Wi-Fi? I mean, if not, you just have to jack it in with the cable. But, that's probably the most tricky thing.
No, I didn't, and I kind of thought that would be the easiest thing. But I did read the tips there about the, jacking it into the with a Ethernet cable there. I know I got a bunch of Ethernet cables around here somewhere, but I haven't seen them in years, so I may end up having to buy another one.
Yeah, so if you don't have them configure your Wi-Fi for you, then you're going to get this thing, and it's not going to, you're not going to have any way to connect to it. So on mine, I've got the Pi Zero based one, and there is no Ethernet port. And so it's a real pickle. He's got this Wi-Fi by light thing, which is very spotty. Doesn't work very well at all. In the regular ones, that have a network jack, yeah, you just jack it in, it'll grab a network address off your router. You just have to figure out what address it grabs looking at your router, and then you just go to that page, and you'll have to set up the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, Roger that. I think I can handle that. That was one nice thing I liked about the ZumSpot there. It's got a nice display on it, and it creates a an address, and all I got to do is check the address, type it into the browser, and boom, I'm at the dashboard kind of thing. And I replaced the PiStar with a WPSD, and I kind of like that. It's pretty easy to use.
Yeah, that's a nice package to get put together. I mean, even PiStar was a pretty decent package, but PSD took it another step, you know, and good stuff. And yeah, you're right. Then you got OpenSpot. You know, they create digital hotspots, and you know, they do it the right way. They, you know, the thing actually becomes a router, you know, and you connect to it, configure it for the your local, and then turn it over. It's a lot of things are doing that now. That's the way it really should go. I'm really shocked with all the work that guy got on the OpenSpot. He didn't do something like that. I got to order a coffee here. Be right back. Morning, KE8WOJ, KE4ZYQ.
Hey, good morning, Joe. Hope you're doing good.
Yeah, woke up and cooked some breakfast, talked to a couple, or one guy going to work that Keith wasn't on there, but, or not Keith. Gordon from the Northville, but I talked to Keith, KE8AUO. Just thought I'd jump in and say hello while you're talking to Sean, I believe.
Yeah, I got a clear node coming today, so I'm kind of all excited. But I just went and signed up with All-Star Link and so I could get a node number. So we'll see how that works out.
That's above my pocketbook and pay grade, so I'll let you two talk about stuff. Just want to say good morning. KE4ZYQ.
NAPDS.
Oda, good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning. What did I miss?
Not much, just the ramblings of this old fart.
I was ordering a coffee. I've been making coffee in the morning. I don't hate it. I don't like having to stop it. I heard you got a clear note coming in.
Yeah, excuse me. I just ordered one last week. I was on the fence of bouncing between a new barrel for my Encore or this All-Star Note. The All-Star Note, the Clearview one out.
Is Sean at the window?
Oh, no. I just wasn't sure if you were going to bounce right back in. Wasn't sure if I was hurt when I jumped back in. But, yeah, so a barrel versus an All-Star Node. That is something that Dakota, myself, can also relate to. You say that, and we just kind of go, man, the challenge is real, man. Dakota?
Yeah, we can relate to that dilemma at a few times. Not this exact scenario, but definitely guns versus radio equipment. ClearNode's a fan favorite around here. I've been running one for 2 years, 24/7. Things that just rock, knock on wood, rock solid. So I'll be super happy with it.
Yep, listening to you guys is what made me decide on the ClearNode. It looks like kind of a top-notch piece of gear, so I thought I'd go ahead and go with that. And, yeah, it's bugging me that I don't have – usually I have a backup caliber, you know, for my hunting rifle kind of thing. And at the moment I don't have one, but then I thought, you know, you're too old to get out there and go hunt anymore, so I'd probably get more use out of the Clearview. So anyway, I went with that. I'll get the barrel sooner or later just for fun.
Yeah, so mine was a 300 blackout barrel shorty from my SBR, and I had a 300 black upper, which I just loved, and I just love the way that you can modify 223, 556 cases and put standard
issue 308 bullets in them. And, you know, you can do that all day, man. Those bullets are a dime a dozen, and those cases are a good breed. We got them by the thousands. So that caliber, really. So I had an upper, and then I think it was when Obama was about to be elected. There was an absolute just frenzy to buy ARs. And I remember selling off some of my, they were fine pieces, but they weren't boutique pieces or anything. But I got stupid money for them because everybody was just crazed, had to get something. And I went out and at that point I switched over to pretty much all boutique stuff. But I got rid of the 300 black. I've always wanted to redo it. So my last hard decision was a Noveske 300 black barrel that I ended up getting. And I got the upper, and just need a few odds and ends to complete that build, but I do still need a couple of odds and ends, so that'll be the next time I have to make a decision. Last night I ordered a headphone amplifier, so a couple hundred bucks of fun money went there. Dakota?
Morning to Sean. Good morning to Dakota, KE4ZYQ. You can leave me out of the real rotation. Just want to say good morning. I'm learning and listening. Over to you, Dakota.
Good morning, Joe. I was with my buddy this past Saturday, and he said the same thing. He goes, I want you to build me a 300 black. I'm like, okay, give me a budget. All my buddies always tell me to build them stuff, and they never tell me what they want to spend, because I'm sure you guys know you could spend a lot, or you could spend a lot. So that's my next project. I gotta build one and physically build one for him with a $1,500 budget, which shouldn't be too hard to do. But, yeah, Sean's got the Mac Daddy clear node. They don't make them anymore for some reason, but it fits in his pocket. So I don't know which one you got. I'm assuming you got the Pi 5 version. But, yeah, I get way more use out of mine than I do my rifles. Although I did, I don't know if it's TMI over the air, I shot two groundhogs off of my toilet yesterday out of my master bathroom.
you got me cracking up over here. I hate living in the city. And, you're kind of lucky I am. I'd like to build another upper. I built a 350 Legend for Southern Michigan deer hunting. I really like that caliber there, a 9mm bullet. They call it a straight-walled case, but it's got a slight taper to it. But anyway, I built an upper for that, and it shoots tiny little bug hole groups. It's a lot of fun. I even just building them, but I like testing them. I like loading. I do my own ammo, so it's kind of one of my favorite things to do is a load test. It's a never-ending process. KEAWOJ, Sean.
Hey, I just walked in the door here at work. I got to jump. I will be back in here in a few. I'll get you up then. W8FU.
That 350 Legend is my preferred deer caliber. I think I could be anywhere, I don't know, it's tough to say. Anywhere that is 300 and in, I would be totally comfortable hunting with that gun. Obviously, I would love to zip a 243 or a 270 out of deer, but half the time, especially in Michigan, unless you're on open fields, you're not getting those runs. But my 350, my dad's got the same one. We've got the CPA Scout takedown with the stainless fluted barrel and break action, just absolute laser beam.
Yeah, it's a nice round. I'm real happy with it. Shoots well. I kind of wish they'd come out with it sooner, or I'd find out about it a bit sooner. Now they got a 400 Legend. They got a whole bunch of stuff going on now, but I'm pretty happy with the 350. Chronographed it and got the numbers worked out for ballistics and the drops and elevation settings for long distance kind of thing. But I don't, you know, you don't really do a whole lot of distance with that. Like you said, maybe 300 yards at the most.
I did the same thing. I put it on the chrono. I've got a MRAD scope on it, so I've got all my dope. And then I have Vortex Furies with applied ballistics in them, the binoculars, so I can range the deer and it'll actually tell me my adjustment based on the gun profile. It's kind of like cheating, really. I mean, at that point, it's like, okay, dial this, point, shoot. And as long as I do my part right, that goes where it's supposed to. But yeah, the 400 budget, I saw that too. I feel like there's splitting differences there. I have not a single complaint about the 350. I've seen some cavities where it's hit on deer I've shot. And I was like, well, I don't know what else you really need. And never lost a deer with it, never had to track a deer with it. They just fall over. So it's a good round, and the recoil impulse is like non-existent.
Well, I'm curious, what bullet are you shooting?
The 165 FTX.
I'll be darned, I picked the same one. Yep, I sure love that thing. It flies beautifully.
I've always been a Hornady guy. I shoot Hornady when I can. I shoot out of my 2D3. I got 55 grains of E-Max Farman Express, which is just lights out of a $600 rifle. Done nothing to it. Literally put a suppressor on the end of it. And I've shot groundhogs out to 340 so far with it. It's been just, you know, like I said, adjust, point, shoot. And same with the 350. 350, the only... the farthest poke I've had with it was 200, but same result, that deer. I haven't had anything further than that I was willing to lob a shot at. I did have a stud 8-point at about 325, but I'm not gonna, you know, do something stupid with a gun that's not meant to shoot that far.
Hey, well, kudos to you. There's not a whole lot of guys that I know of that would have... missed that chance, but I'm right there with you. If it's not if I'm not real sure of the shot, I'm not taking it.
The good thing is the guys that are willing to take that shot usually can't execute that shot. And it's now that's only on good looking bucks. Now if I'm on a block tag, it's like varmint hunting. Anything's fair game. I'm lobbing whatever at them because the objective is to kill them, not to harvest them.
Yeah, roger that. And even if you don't hit them good, do you track them or just let them go?
We've only lost one on a block tag. It was a quarter two shot. My dad took it at like 205, and I said, don't do it. Like, you know, he's a good shot, but he's not Chris Kyle. So I was like, you know, let that one walk. It's too far. Let it come in. And he hit it further back. We tracked it for about an hour and gave up. So we give effort. You know, it's not like we're like, oh, we don't hit that one good. Hopefully it dies in the woods. But, you know, we're not out there for days trying to find it either.
Yeah, roger that. That's that's what I hate most is tracking. We tracked one, I think, about a day and a half one time. Never did find it. I think somebody grabbed it along the way somewhere. But there's other things I'd rather be doing, I'll just say that.
Oh, I know. I've been there. I had my buddy this weekend. He's like, you know, why do you have so many tools for building guns and this, that, and the other thing? He goes, why do you, you know, do this? Why do you do that? I'm like, I hit a point of getting sick of missing or getting sick of not finding stuff. And it was more along the lines of missing varmint. And my whole thing is, if I can hit a groundhog at 300 yards, I can hit a deer at 500 easily with the proper gun. So I just apply the same fundamentals that I built those rifles with to my deer rifles, and it's the same result. Because of that, I can't stand not finding something. I can't stand not getting something. I'm out there for a reason. I'm not going to be out there, you know, like you said, tracking a deer on my hands and knees in the middle of the night getting eaten alive by mosquitoes.
Yeah, roger that. it just threw me off a little bit. A DMR call just came in through here. Kind of freaked me out. I'm the same way. I started out, when I started out with hand loading there, I decided I wanted to try to make my off-the-shelf deer rifles shoot as close as I could to a bench rest rifle, which, as you know, is probably impossible. But, you know, who knows how close you can get, you know. So I'd get down to half MOA on most of them, you know, going from, you know, factory ammo with three-inch groups at 100 down to 1 inch. It's pretty easy. Getting from 1 inch to a half is a little bit harder, and getting half inch or lower is very difficult. I could spend the whole summer doing it, trying it anyway.
Like I said last time we talked, I'm afraid to go down that rabbit hole because I'm kind of a perfectionist with that stuff, and I don't want to bury myself and what's the saying? You can't see the forest through the trees. So my deer gun, I'm a little less picky. You know, if I've got a clover leaf at 100 yards in a three-shot group, that's more than enough for me. We're shooting at a 8-inch kill plate. My varmint stuff, I'm a little more stringent and picky on, but I was shooting, I don't even know if I papered my TG3 at distance yet, but I was shooting my TG3 Ruger American Gen 2 that I have set up for varmint at 316, some oddball number that my buddy's got at his farm. And I was shooting 3-inch steel plates consistently, so I was like, that's good enough for me.
Oh, excellent. So I'm curious, since you don't load, I imagine you buy your factory ammo in quite large lots, so you keep the same lot number, so you don't have to start making adjustments and testing. I know before the health problems started, I was going over to Ypsilanti. There was a sportsman's club there by Ford Lake, and they've got a 600-yard range, and they have Wednesdays open for F-class practice. So I took my 700 VS and 308 over there one day with my deer loads, 165 grain Sierra Game King bullets, and I ended up shooting a 3-inch group at 600 yards with that thing. And the guy that was running the line at the time wanted to buy it.
Yeah, that's half MOA. That's pretty damn good. I don't own a 308. I want one, but I live, you know, I don't have anywhere I can hunt with it. So I've got varmint toys and straight walls. But yeah, I don't know. It depends. My 22, for some reason, I'm a freak about it. So I built a CZ457. It's basically set up for NRL 22 open class. It's like a $4,000 rifle, not including the suppressor. So I bought, I don't know, 5 or 10,000 rounds of Ely Match, all the same lot number. All that thing does now is shoot groundhogs. I was going to do NRL 22, but never got around to it. And then the other stuff, like my 250 and my 223, I'll buy like 4 boxes at a time. And they usually last me 2-3 seasons, especially now. I used to go shoot groundhogs. You know, I'd get 100 a year. Sometimes more, sometimes less, plus raccoons and whatever else was out in the field, coyotes. And now I just don't have time, so my beautiful competition 22 is now relegated to the backyard.
Oh my, I'd love to have a 22 like that. Of course, the same thing. I don't really have a whole lot of use for it anymore. I can't get around that good. But what nice, that's the only thing I like about it. Every time one of these shortages pops up with ammo or powder or whatever kind of thing, I got a whole couple cabinets full of everything I need, you know what I mean? I can whip up what I need when I need it. CGAWOJ.
That's what started the lot buying for me was, you know, it was really the duck hunting. We couldn't get shot shells for couldn't find them. I don't remember. I think it was during COVID. And that's when I was like, okay, anytime I buy the ammo I shoot, I'm buying a flat or a case or whatever, or even if I don't need it or it's something I might shoot, I'll buy it. So I've got plenty of shotgun ammo. And the worst part about that is, I don't know if you're a shotgunner at all, but not every gun likes every ammo, even if you have two of the exact same guns. So I've got a bunch of ammo that I'm probably never going to shoot and just gets turned into raccoon loads. But that's really what kicked off the buy, you know, instead of buying one, buy two, and just keep stockpiling stuff. And I'm not one of those, you know, I'm a prepper, but it's like, if I want to go hunting, I want to have ammo.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, Roger that. I know what you mean. Before the 350 Legend and the straight wall down here, I ended up with tons of slugs, 12-gauge slugs of all different kinds, all different manufacturers. You know, testing, because like you said, they all shoot different. It's not a whole lot different than center fire. So I got a gigantic box full of slugs over here that I'll probably never do anything with.
Four is he like you?
Go ahead, Joe. I heard you. I got you in there.
Four is he like you? I got the repeater ID there. You guys talking about ammo? I looked in my supply of ammo that I bought quite a while back, and it stays pretty dry. It shouldn't go too bad. But talk about ammo price. A box of hollow point. Full metal jacket, hollow point, 9mm, 50 rounds, $10. Can you imagine how long ago that might have been? Over to you, Dakota.
Yeah, that was a long time ago, because last time I bought 9mm Federal HST 147 grains, and it was like, I don't know, $60 or something shipped for 50 rounds. So, you know, you're looking at almost a buck around now, over a buck around.
I spend a lot of time on YouTube there, and I've been seeing videos lately of people, everybody's claiming that the ammo prices are coming way down for some reason. Don't know why, but that's a good thing for a change.
You know, some of those people that bought a lot a while back, could be that have used much of it if they're not hunters, you know, if they just had it for self-defense or whatever. That might be why. Like moi here. Over to you, Dakota.
Yeah, and I think we're finally at a surplus again where manufacturing's been able to keep up because people haven't been panic buying. So, yeah, I remember for a while there, the only thing you get was just Wildcat off calibers that no one really used. People were asking me if I wanted, I can't, some of the calibers they were naming off. I'm like, I've never even seen a gun in chambered in that. So, I'm a straightforward guy. I got my shotguns, I got a couple varmint rifles that I try to stick with similar calibers, and then 9mm pistols, that's about it.
I've got that 700 VF, and it's a 308 varmint. Boy, that thing's heavy. I'd have to hire a boy to carry it for me now. And I've got a Sako 243 varmint. That's a beautiful gun, magnificent gun, but I've shot the barrel out of it. It's going to need another barrel. And some others, some ARs, and a few others. KEAWOJ.
KE4ZYQ. Well, you know what's really a accurate pistol that you don't hear much about? And I believe a policeman told me when I shot at the Sheriff's Department shooting range years ago, he said that the FBI or CIA used to carry these SIG, you know, SIG guns, and the P229, very accurate pistol, very, very reliable. I don't think I've ever had a jam in anything I had. Over to you, Dakota.
Yeah, the 229s are sleek guns. They're full steel frame, so they're nice and heavy. Sean's a sick guy. He'll get all excited over that. Steel frame, nice and heavy, good shooters. They're expensive, though. They're not like the polymer guns. I think those are about around $1,000 just to get into them, and you start looking at the, you know, the additions they have, like the Rose or the Legion or any other bougier stuff that starts adding up quick.
Well, my first handgun was a Beretta 96. I kind of was looking at the 92, and I went, at the time, guys at the club were kind of bashing the 9mm. as being kind of puny or whatever kind of thing. So I bought the 96 and the 40 caliber, and I'm real happy with it. It feeds just about anything. I mean, you could you could have loads that were not sized properly, and it'll still feed and shoot them, and it's very accurate. It's a really great gun, but I'm kind of bummed because Beretta seems to, like they're not really supporting it anymore. They're selling new barrels, you know, all kind of parts for Beretta guns, but you can't find much of nothing for the 96 anymore. Joe, go ahead.
Well, I'm embarrassed to say, but I'll say it anyhow. My first gun ever was a dumb mistake. I bought a very inaccurate, clumsy, poorly made Ruger P89. And that thing was a tank. It was big, it was bulky, and it was very inaccurate. After I traded that in, after I learned a little bit more and investigated more, that's when I got the SIG. But I don't know, Dakota or Rick there, I don't know if you've ever seen, I talked to Rick about it, I don't know about you, Dakota, but ever seen a Derringer pen gun, a 22 one-shot safety pen gun? How about that, Dakota?
Oh, yeah, I've seen them, I've looked at them. They don't do it for me. I'm a bigger guy, so I can hide a 9mm about as easy as I can hide that thing, so there's no point. They actually, I forgot what the brand is, but there's a two-shot, similar concept that they put a 45 cal in, so that's what that feels like in your hand. But, all right, gents, I'm at work. I can talk about guns all day long, so we'll have to pick this conversation up again someday. Everyone have a good day, good conversation. I'll catch y'all later. And ADDF, I'll be clear up yours.
Okay, Dakota, have a good one and a good safe day, and we'll catch you later. AEAWJ.
7-3, Dakota, have a good day at work. Thanks for the ride-along, even I jumped in later. And yeah, that pen gun is not for self-defense. It's a very unique collector item that they may not ever make ever again. But anyhow, Rick, you're a plethora of information and knowledge and experience. Always interesting listening. Back to you.
Well, thanks, Joe. I appreciate it, but I feel like every day I'm forgetting most of what I knew. It's just that time of life, I guess.
KEWOJ, KE4Z, like you. Well, you're right alongside of all of us older guys, older geezers, because, you know, like old computers, they only got so much hard drive memory. And when you got new stuff and learning new stuff, you only got a limited amount of space, so you got to delete or forget something to put something new in. There you go.
Well, Joe, you know, I have to apologize because a pretty girl walked by and I just had to talk to her, so I didn't get most of that.
Well, that's okay. I don't blame you. I do the same. Now, what I said is, don't apologize for being old and forgetting some things, because it's like an old computer. It only got so much memory, and you got to delete some old stuff to put new stuff in, right?
Yeah, Roger. I think I only got enough room left for my name, address, and phone number. Everything else is kind of iffy.
Well, I'm thinking of getting myself a couple tattoos. One is my name and where to take me if I can't talk. And one stamp I'll put on my chest saying this side up in case they have to do CPR and they don't have me backwards.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. All right, well, I'm going to get out of here, Joe. I'm running out of breath, and I got to go down and feed the little guy. So I'll catch you later. Have a good day. KEAWOJ.
That was good checking, catching up with you briefly, and you and Dakota talking to you. Well, do me one favor. If you ever get the inkling and ability and time and effort to take a short video of Rambo jumping around with laser or whatever, if you share that with me, it'll probably make my whole week. just seeing that little guy, that little bugger jumping around or something. But anyhow, good to hear you. Glad you're at least home and back to familiar territory without any hassles, at least with strangers. But talk to you soon, I hope. God willing, both of us. KEWOJ, KE4ZYQ, clear for now.
WDH KLL KFH DIC.
W4XED, this is W3LNS.
K8BB. K8RUH.
Did somebody forget about me? W8RCY.
What's going on, Donald?
Did Sean forward you my phone number?
He did, and you know what? I haven't got it back to you because I haven't had any good equipment in the last week or two. It's been wonky because of the holidays and stuff, or holiday. But I'm starting to get more inventory. What are you looking for?
Well, Windows 10 is what I would like to get. Right now I'm in the market for just about anything. I've already talked to Dakota, and I've looked at a couple of places that he's mentioned, and I'm waiting to hear from you is what you have available before I make a decision. And, I'm fine without a laptop. I've worked it out with a cell phone and a tablet, and I'm okay. But, I was just wondering. I figured it was either something work-related or you were just busy, and I was just checking in.
Yeah, you know, hang tight real quick. I'll be right back. Give me 2 minutes.
Give you three. Take your time.
All right, sir, I'm back. So you're just looking for something that'll run Windows 11?
Yeah, I mean, Windows 10 is my dream of buying something like that, but I will. But yeah, I just need something that's up to date. Really good.
Again, W8WW.
W8WW, this is KE8RUH. How are you doing this afternoon?
KE8RUH, W8WW. Good afternoon. Name is James. Just enjoying my day off here in Livonia. I'm actually working on a tablet right now.
Good, yeah, I'm just on my way home from the office right now, and as of this moment, not too much traffic. Hopefully it stays that way.
Yeah, understood on that. I work downtown Detroit, so I always enjoy my time off. Yeah, I'm the area source for these Panasonic Toughbook tablets that guy gets from the various big three. So right now I'm installing Windows 10 on one, and then going to install Windows 11. But luckily it's not as hard as it was back in the past. Everything now, you know, just being in there, plug and play, just have to roll through the punches.
James, my name is Anthony, and how do you acquire these Toughbooks?
These are the Tough Pads. They're lease returns. They come through various big three customers. Then they wipe the, remove the hard drives, and I put the hard drives in and put the, install the operating system. A lot of folks have been using them for their Go boxes and everything. We put out a thing to the various clubs around the country, and I'm just trying to fill another happy pre-order, see if I can get that done by the end of today.
And this is your side gig, and you're just buying and reselling, or this is what your business does?
No, I'm a public servant. I work downtown Detroit, P25. I do a lot of on a daily basis. No, this is just function through the Livonia Amateur Radio Repeater Group we put out the heads up that we got the volume discount on these. But got a good response. 53 orders for this batch here, and I'm waiting on another 28 to come in for the pre-orders. But now this is going to help get our repeater controller problems fixed on our 44365 machine, so we can then move it up to a permanent location.
Got ya. What model of, you said, are those tough pads or tough books? What model are you working on?
Yeah, they're the Panasonic Tough Pad. These are the tablets you can name your drive a truck over. They're the FZG ones on that. Not bad little use. I did a demonstration where I, at a restaurant, dropped it on the tile floor and then stood on it. Funny thing is I've been doing that on my personal tablet, and so far, after stepping on it 50 times, I had a little bruising on the screen, but nothing much to do to deter of its use on it. If it didn't fall off a ladder on Thursday, I'd be up on the roof trying to get my radials back on my base station antenna. But the hinge lock didn't fall into place, and that kind of gave in. W8WW.
Yeah, those are pretty cool devices. The reason I'm asking all the questions is because I resell used computers. So, like you're talking that off-lease gear, that's what I do for a living, is I deal with that end-of-life equipment. And I've been seeing some, not the Panasonic, but there's another manufacturer out there called GTEC, G-E-T-E-C. And I've been seeing quite a few of those computers, the laptops, as of late. So I was just curious how you were acquiring them, and if that's what you did for work. So it's just interesting. K-E-8-R-U-H.
No, I actually came across this all by accident with a gentleman. Was discussing parts for my Porsche, and I came to find out that he handled equipment and that, and then started talking, and lo and behold, this came through. But we're doing a, monies from these, as I said, we're putting a new controller on the repeater, and then hopefully we'll get everything set up with the new, with a permanent site out here in the Livonia area.
Oh, now we're talking.
Well, that's pretty cool. What are you selling those tough pads for? I don't actually see a lot of those, so it's cool that you found a source for them.
Well, let's just, I usually don't discuss pricing over the radio. Let's just say, I was joking that on the Baofeng scale, that these would be, depending on what the speed they are, I had a couple 2 gigahertz ones come in. Those would be on the 5 Baofeng scale, but the 2.5 to 2.7 gigahertz ones would be about the 6 Baofeng scale on that.
Well, on the Baofeng, that is a very fair price. So you are treating your customers very well. That's pretty cool.
Uh-huh. Yeah, this actually isn't really much of a business venture on anything. You know, it's not out to, you know, it makes a few dollars and helps get the controller we need. Then that's fine. And then, as I said, we're working on the repeater here, so that'll take care of things once everything is up and running.
Well, that's very cool. Yeah, people really, really like those the tough pads and tough books. But as far as the tough books, Dell also makes a really good rugged laptop that are highly sought after. So if you guys ever are looking to expand the models, look at those Dells or even the G-Tacs. People like those. So they're those rugged devices are cool, but they're bulky, they're heavy. I mean, they have their place, right? Like you said, you put them in a field case or a field bag that's something that you're taking out. It can be abused, but for everyday use, it's a little much.
LVU8FU.
Go ahead.
Hello, Sean.
Yeah, I tried a couple of grunts and groans and wasn't working, so I figured I'd get all official. Anyhow, I'm curious, what repeater needs a new controller on the west side? Who dat? Sean, WNFU.
Yeah, this is W8WW here in Livonia. Yeah, no, we're trying to update the controller on our Tate repeater on the 44365 machine.
Oh, okay, roger. So, very good. I have switched to All-Star for all my repeaters. I just do up All-Star. I don't bother with controllers anymore. There are some advantages to a controller, but none of them I really care to take advantage of. For the price, I can get a Weiss box and put All-Star 3 on it, and doesn't cost diddly squat. Works really good. So you might want to consider that. But if you've got some specific needs, then I get it.
You know, we're looking at various things, and I have somebody who's going to look at, the Tate repeater that we have here. It's got an E&M interface, so we're looking on how we're going to tap into that rugged repeater, but I want to make sure to have a couple forms of control on it as well. I might put in a EchoLink interface and go from there.
All right, yeah. No, All-Star has, you know, Echo Link and IRLP and all that stuff all built in. So, but like I said, you gotta familiarize. Anthony, how the heck you doing? I heard you earlier, but I had a new hire this morning. And so today was his onboarding, and I was running around, and a couple of times I'd been on the radio, I didn't want to be rude or anything. I just talked to Donald a little bit ago. So I know that happened.
Yep, things are good. I was just, I bought one of those short antennas like Eric talked about, those Bing Foos, and I was just testing it out earlier, and then I switched it back over when I was talking to Donald because I didn't realize, I thought he was at home, and he could barely get in, so, yeah, I was just playing around, seeing how that antenna was working, but switched back to my 2x4 for now, so, yeah, all good over here. How about you? You said you had a new hire. Is that taking over for somebody that retired, or you guys adding?
Yeah, we had a retiree, so we went out to hire, and it's all pretty fast process, and he started officially today. So guy comes with a lot of creds, too. It's the first hire that came with a lot of business experience in this business. So that's cool. Anywho, when I hear WWW, I think Joe, but I don't know what your name is there, sir, because I know you ain't a Joe, I'm thinking.
Name here is James. Well, you know, if I can't do it without laughing. Yeah, I'm Joe's son. Or, as I like to say, to keep my lane to social standing, I ask for a recount on the blood test every year, and they keep telling me, yeah, he's my father.
Oh, I'll be damned. Woof, woof. There you go. Very cool.
Yeah,
I'm
I can't believe we're getting on.
I have on my way home. So I will catch up with you later.
Actually, 2 weeks, it'll be 24 years that we lost Joe. But, you know, I made a promise to get the call and was able to do that. And luckily kept that for him. And, you know, just starting to get back little by little on the air and go from there. Funny thing was, is I was talking about the Panasonic Tough Pad earlier, I was making planning a future trip back to Morocco to operate from a real nice hotel there right on the water, and I think I'm going to take that and use that instead of a laptop to get with the travels. Tried doing it last summer, but ran into some issues here and there, and the innkeeper invited me to come back and try it again this summer.
Yeah, you and Anthony doubled. Okay, Anthony, I'm not sure if you're gone yet, but he was just signing off there. See ya, if you're still listening. But, yeah, Morocco sounds nice. I've been to countries, but I'm just a boring guy when it comes to travel.
Well, I caught the love of travel from Joe. Unfortunately, never really had the chance to do any travels with him. We were talking about doing a mini de-expedition with ourselves off Venezuela. Of course, this being, my God, 25, 30 years ago, but my schedules and all that didn't work with his, although the nice thing was is I was able to visit them down in West Palm a number of times and operate from the station there. And the funny thing is stations, you know, I'd be operating under my sign, call sign, and I, how's Joe? And I was like, how do you know that? They're like, yeah, we know the signal. He comes in like he was a local, WAWW.
Your dad was one, for better or worse, he left the mark, so that's kind of cool. And, it's very cool you got the call. I know my son-in-law wants to have to get my call, but I go, hey, wait your turn. Plus, you gotta get your extra. So, that's all good. So you sound really good. Tell me what you're running, what theater you're on, and what you're running. Probably on the TJ Detroit machine, or you all starring it, or...
I believe there was another station in there. If that was Anthony, go ahead.
No, try man, Tom, Tango Oscar Mike. Kilo, Charlie 8 Kilo, Juliet Oscar. And Sean, you sound like crud. You must be on Romeo.
Sorry about that. I was still on Mount Clemens, and I was in an area where it drops off. I switched over to Warren.
Yeah, I switched over to EchoLink. I was trying to get my toning codes and that, but for some reason it wasn't getting through. But I will tell you this much: if you ever heard the story, you know Joe would go out of his way to help folks. There was a big hubbub down in West Palm Beach. Joe and a friend of his mentored a gentleman who had some issues, ADD and other things, and it took him probably around 10 times or 10 attempts at the code before he could get the five words a minute. But this kid was able to go, and he used the waiver to get the extra back then, as his theory and everything was just amazing. The kid went to join the local VE, and some of the people down there really abused the hell out of him and caused one big scandal down there, which Joe stood up for the kid. So, WAWW.
And hello, Tom. Welcome to the afternoon drive. So, you know, it's funny because I just met somebody with your last name at the Macomb County Sheriff about an hour ago, and actually saw Joe. And you know, and of course, you know, the guy at work said, "Oh, you know, is there Sister Helen?" You know, I was like, "Oh boy," but it's kind of funny. Oh, name comes up twice in a day.
Yeah, you know the thing is I work downtown Detroit. I tell the boys in blue where to go on a daily basis. I think Joe would have been proud where I ended up and how I ended up. And the funny thing is I share his same sense of humor, and you know, from there. But I'm actually gonna put up I got a small house here in Livonia, gonna put up a rotatable dipole for right now, and once I get the chance to move into Joe's old house, maybe then I'll put a tower in.
Go ahead, Tom.
Oh, I thought you were talking about me. They can't convince somebody over at MASS that had my last name, and I'm thinking, was it my younger brother? But sounds like you're talking about the other guy.
Oh, yeah, no, it's just there's a woman I had to go see about to get some work done, and and I remember her name, and I remember thinking of Joe when I heard that, because I don't hear that name that often. It's not a rare name or anything, but I heard it, and I thought Joe, and then it's funny, I get on the air, and it's Jim, you know, it's like, well, isn't that weird? If it were lotto numbers, I'd play them.
Indeed. Well, I'm going to let you guys carry on. I'm going to go out and try to see how things are going outside. Maybe climb the ladder, get something done up on the roof. So I will wish you both the best of 73's W8WW.
All right, Jim. A pleasure, and we'll catch you again. Go ahead, Tom. That's almost as easy as mine.
Yours is not hard to forget.
I've had people ask me to confirm, but I've never had anybody not catch it on the first go-round.
When I first heard it, when I jumped on the FBI last year, we started speaking for the first time, I'm like, is that really? And I thought, I'm like, no. And then you're like, yeah. And I'm like, cool.
I liked my old call. I did. And I would have been, if I wouldn't have got this one, I would have been happy to just keep the other one until the day I die. But, if I had a nickel for every time somebody boogered it up, and there was nothing special about it anymore. And in fact, it was even worse than most 2x1s in that it seemed like every Tom, Dick, and Harry wanted to be a WX because they, you know, ooh, weather, the weather factor, you know. So I just wanted to, I just say, yeah, you know. So I could have lived with it, but like I said, when the one I had been hanging for 20 years showed up, I figured I'm going for it. One shot, all in, all or nothing.
Well, I've always knew one. He got it, and then it was an afterthought. I'm like, oh, and think of that. I'm like, what did she do? That's what's easy to remember.
Very dapper. Yeah. Yeah, he got that one right out of the gate, so very good. We got another one. Phil has got a 33% chance of pulling the ultimate call for him. And he's in the running with two others.
Wouldn't it be a surprise if he gets it?
You know, I sometimes wish they would look at certain factors and, you know, and take it into account, you know, and one thing good is all three applying for the one Phil's going for are eight landers, and that's one of the biggest things that bothers me, is that an out-of-district person, I don't mind them going for it, but they should be, if no eight applied. It should always go with, you know, to an in-district person first. And, you know, and then I also think that, you know, if you're a, there's these people you look and you can just look at the number of applications they put in. They just continuously fish. You know, they're just continuously fishing. And they've had dozens of applications in the process and three or four calls. And I think there should be points for, you know, some bonus to not being a, you know, a call sign harvester.
100% agree. If you're going for a District 8 call, you should be in District 8. I mean, because it can be confusing. I mean, I think I heard somebody on here before that was like W-O or W-0. I'm like, where the hell does that one come from?
Well, I got no problem with people getting a call out of district or having one. The ones I don't like, the KL7s.
you know, that are located here, relocate to Michigan. And, you know, my friend John was working Aurora one night, and he had a KL7 coming in on Aurora, and he's like, oh, my God, you know, and so he works the guy. The guy's in the UP. It's like, oh, man. But, yeah, I just, you know, if the guy's got one here, that's fine. But I think if somebody in the 8th Hall District is looking to get something from the 8th, they ought to just have, you know, well, if there are no 8s, then anybody, you know, fair game. You know, then a 5 or a 7 can get an 8 or something like that. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm sure other people would disagree. But it just seems to me they should have at least a weighting system, WEIDHT, so that they can, you know, have some sort of way to not give preference, but just give a better chance to certain folks, you know, that aren't abusing the system and they're in district and all that other good stuff.
Gotcha. Well, that's why when I finally come around and get off my lazy dogs and finish up some more of my with SSD 4 study from my general, I'm just going to keep the one that I have. I went to the ACKHO again for almost 30 years, and I'm just going to keep living because I got my general.
I consider, like, if KKJO is available, drop the C. You know, just to shorten it up. You know, you might do something like that. That's kind of what Donald did, sort of, kind of. You know, he had his GM Russ call, and he basically just made something, you know, out of that, which works out. So, but I don't know if I could deal with a 2x3. That's just a bit much. Yepers, and I've always liked the way K and N sounded before H. I'm not a big fan of the way W sounds before the H. And it's a minor thing, but I like NA. And even K better as far as the rhythm. So, but if you don't plan on taking up CW at any time, then neither here nor there, then it gets to be a, does it come off the mouth without sounding like you got marbles in your mouth, and are there reasonable phonetics? Roger. Yeah, that has proven to be a
a little persnickety. Look, I've used that twice now in the same conversation. I got to stop that. I've been hooked on that word for a while now. Anyhow, yeah, it's just been a little challenging getting time with everything that's been going on. I had a project last week that had me just consumed, and then this week, you know, is I have an onboarding today. I'm not finished with. I've got some stuff I got to do tomorrow regarding that, and then I've got a go live at a site Wednesday, and so hopefully there'll be some window of opportunity.
Yeah, I'm probably 100% understandable. It's not 200% understandable. There's days where they're just hinky, I guess you could say. A little hinky. Is that deep?
Yeah, also, this one's got to be set up with all, you know, it's not like a portable. So you got to set it up, and I'm not familiar with all the details of that, so I got to look into that, and I got to borrow somebody else's stuff, you know, and I only have the appropriate software on one particular piece of equipment, which is assigned to somebody. So, yeah, all in all, okay. Let's see here. Have they completely closed me down, or can I get through? Oh, man. Oh, and I just blew through a stop sign. Well, luckily, I'm okay. Yeah, it looks like I can get through. They got everything tore up.
I was going in that general direction last week. Stopped by a co-worker's house to see how she was doing, because then she tore her meniscus and had part of another tendon relocated. Stuff reattached, so dropped her off, you know, stopped over there to see if she needed anything. And then, yeah, going down 12 miles was like a total bear.
Well, this is in my subdivision. They've got the half-mile road shut down, half of it shut down westbound, and I come from the east. And just before my street, they got it, it's eastbound only. And it says closed to through traffic. It doesn't say closed. So I just kind of hang back, and when I can see nobody's coming for quite a ways, you know, I just sneak over, and it's 50 feet to get to my turn. But it's a pain. All right, I'm here. I'm pulling in the drive now. So you travel safe. Have fun, and we'll catch you later. After yours, WAFU.
Rusted. I go, how's that possible? And he goes, tape materials.
What was the response?
Tape materials. There were rust patches on the rear rotors, so when I applied the brakes, you get that thump, 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 and I thought maybe I had a locked up caliper, even though it's a new van. And he goes, no, you're 80, although you got 80% on all four. And it was, the rotors just got rusted. There's solid rotors in the back, so they're more susceptible to heat and moisture.
Yeah, they don't get used as much as the front ones do. Believe it or not, I forget what the ratio is, but most of the pressure is on the front brakes.
I believe it's 60-40. The backs are there just for assistance. You know, they're not actually braking the vehicle. They're like secondary. And also, too, the one rotor that always gets the most abuse is the driver's front, because that's closest to the master cylinder.
Yep, sir. That's why it's bigger. Look at that. I've made it all the way to 26 and county line without a traffic jam.
Yeah, I went down Shainer from my mechanic, and that was construction. And then M19 was construction all weekend, so there was lanes alternating being repaired from Weber all the way up through town. So, but thank goodness it was done late yesterday afternoon, early this morning, because it was wide open when I went to work.
There you go. Nice weather, nice everything today. A little warm, but I'll be okay. I actually wore shorts. And I usually don't wear shorts golfing, but today I'm going to chance it.
I'll make sure everybody wears sunglasses so I don't get blinded by them white legs.
Yepper. Just realized something. I forgot my hat. That's not going to be good.
You forgot your hat? Is that what you said?
Hat. Hotel. Alpha. Tango.
I'm sure they got something for your skillet when you get into the pro shop.
I don't think this place has got a pro shop.
Got a dark blue one. It's adjustable if you want it. It says JCI on it, but at least it's something.
Nah, I'll be all right. Maybe I'll golf better without a hat. Won't look as cool, though.
Did you wear one and put the cart? If you didn't, then I think you'll be okay.
No, but I put a lot of stuff on my head. Well, something gets stuff to put on my head. What do you think? That'll work. Little SPF 30. Or get some paint at the hardware store.
It's a number 8 on that multiplicity here.
More like a number 80.
Neither one. You're like me, keep my hair short, so I burn real fast. Plus, being of Irish descent, my skin's a lot fairer, I guess you can say. KGO for ID, since I haven't done that.
Everybody knows who you are. You're Tom. And I'm Wally. WAD. Now, if I keep the ball in the fairway, then there would be a better chance of not getting my head burned.
Or knocking into the brush, you stay in the shade.
Nah, the mosquitoes get me.
dogs or something just to walk around or just sit out there and mate by the camper. I was eating like 5 times, if not more. I had one on my knuckle. And those are the most annoying. I don't mind the ones on the arms and the shoulders, but when I get it on the head and on the neck and on the knuckles, it drives me nuts.
Yeah, we went to some friend's house for 4th of July little get-together. It was actually the 5th or something, whatever it was, the day after, the day before. I can't remember what it was. And afterwards, you know, in the sunset, everybody said, oh, we'll just go sit on the deck and watch the fireworks all around the lake. Well, I didn't make it through that. Mosquitoes loved me. Everybody else says, oh, I'm not getting bitten. Well, something about me, they like.
There is something that I saw on TikTok, I think, or Instagram. I forgot where I saw it. But it's a mosquito zapper, and it uses LIDAR and laser.
You know that if it's not windy outside, that thermal cell thing works pretty good, and they're kind of cheap. You can buy them at, Myers, and they put the little butane cartridge in it, and the little paper cartridge with some sort of insecticide that'll kill us young, but that works really well. So as long as the wind's not blowing, the mosquitoes don't like it. You can't smell it, but there's something there, and that works remarkably well.
What also works, I found out, and mosquitoes do not like it, is a fan. So if you have like a box fan or a stand fan that you can put on the deck and blow it across you, it will keep the mosquitoes away because they can't fly in the wind. That's why in windy days there's no mosquitoes.
Steve's house is on a lake. We got these problems with all those birds flying around. And you know what he does, but birds don't like? And it's freaking amazing. Fishing line.
Never thought of that. I don't have problems with birds. But we have bats that fly around, so they help get rid of the mosquitoes. They eat my lightning bugs, too. But as long as they keep the mosquitoes away, I am good with that.
Yeah, well, he's got seagulls, and so he runs from dock pole to dock pole to dock pole. He runs fishing line, and up on his roof of his little boat garage, he runs fishing line. They don't like it.
Never thought of that. Something else I learned. Well, I am here at Ace Hardware to go find me some Gorilla Glue and some fuses. If you're already gone by the time I get back outside, enjoy your golf day. 73 on your final, KACKGO.
I'm going by Hoover's now. W-A-B-D.
K-A-C-K-G-O.
N-A-W-R-O. Rumor has it you're in town.
Yes, I am.
Tom, just an update. I was able to get your Skywarn certificate, so you're going to be set on all that. So you should be able to take care of 6 items on Thursday.
And I passed my IS-100.
Make that 7, then.
I got WinLink to work on my other laptop, and I had to add my external email into an accepted recipient or sender, and then I sent a test email to my personal email, and I sent it from my personal email back to my WinLink email. I think I sent you one, but since I'm not on your senders list or whatever, I don't think you got it.
Oh, I didn't check. I haven't checked my Windlink, so let me do that, and I can print it out too. Also, you could send you can't send one to your call sign direct, but if you put test in there, T-E-S-T, it'll pair it back to you. It's just a little tip there. Or you could send one to my call sign. That would work too, and I could print it out, bring it on Thursday.
Yeah, I sent it to NARO or NAWRO at, blahblahblah.org.
Okay, I'll have it then. I'm opening up Windlink now, and I'll download it and bring it for Thursday.
Yeah, when I sent it, when I did the start, when I hit commit, when I did start, I did it through Telnet, like you said, and it said messages sent. So, got that far.
Just downloaded. Good morning, Tim. Sending a test mail via Telnet. Yep, I got it. I'll print it out. That's the other deal. You got it.
And I told Dave that I'm looking at HospitalNet. He was asking him, I was chatting with him when I told him I passed the IS-100. And I told him about, I'd like to learn more about that hospital and that. He'd like me to do it since I have radio experience in regards to a dispatch and also being an announcer and stuff like that. I used to run horse shows. I did horse shows for almost, 10 years. I did horse shows for about 10 years, and I did the entire Army Affair. I did that every year. And plus 4-H horse shows, so I have a little bit of experience in regards to talking. KC, could you?
NAWRO, that'd be great, Tom. Yeah, I'd be interested in that. I just didn't know if you had enough time to do it, but maybe that's on the weekends?
Well, I'm sure we can set something up. We'll talk about it more on Thursday. I told him if it's like after work, like 7 o'clock, like a regular meeting or something like that, I can hit any one of the hospitals in Macomb County, as long as I have ahead of time, because I'm on call every other week. So all I got to do is just tell my boss, taking the service van down to such and such location, and I got my van just in case I get a call kind of thing.
Gotcha. Now I understand. That sounds good. Very interesting. I'm going to be interested in learning about that as well.
Yeah, I know Dave was talking about, doing at one of our meetings, doing like some type of scenario or whatever, or even some of the Woodward Dream Cruise, that I have to hook up with somebody for a ride because I can't take my van out that way. I don't want to leave my wife, taking her truck and leaving her stranded in case anything goes awry with the dogs or whatever. But I have, 20 VHF HDs that I can easily program frequencies into. I got the software, I got the cables. Plus, I have lapel mics for them and chargers. They sit here in my van. I've had them for years.
Yeah, I was going to mention, if that does come to pass, same thing here. I've got way too many HTs, and we'll just get together a little miniature code plug for them. We'll just be the same, and I can program mine, too. And some of them I can put the real stubby antennas on, too, that might help inside that building.
Yeah, the only thing that I did not get for these radios was the repeater. Because that went on the Fritz, and they went from analog to digital. And I think, but I got all the analog radios, every one that he could find. So, he had some bases, but they were, couldn't find the mics and everything. Now he's not with that company anymore, but I got a whole bunch of them donated. I've used them for all my horse shows that I used to do. So, yeah, I'll bring him into class on the meeting on Thursday.
All right. Sounds good. We'll see you then. Safe travels up to Memphis. NAWRO after you.
Yeah, we'll give it a chance. Look up the Vertex Standard UX-261 and EX-231. Their Vertex Standard was, spin off of Motorola. So these radios are probably about 150 apiece, 200. So I think it'll be fun. I'm getting into this. I love it. All right, 73 GSM. NAWRO from KKO.
You too, Tom. NAWRO. Have a good one.